I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the final buzzer sounds, we're here to wrap it up.
Why not? You're Steph Curry!
It's time for Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Wrap Up is presented by Realtor.com, the home of home search.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center. It's Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. And Whitey Gleason, the Warriors' 10-game winning streak.
It is all
over. Losing
over.
Streak, rather, yeah. Is all over.
Right.
109-95, the final for the Dubs as they win this game after trailing 13-0 in the first few minutes.
Yeah, so if you win 109-95 and you were behind 13-0, Tim Jordan did the math for me. He tells me that means the Warriors outscored Orlando 109-82.
Impressive.
Yeah, that
stuff.
Is very impressive. And I really appreciated what the Warriors did. We know that Orlando's a very good defensive team. The Warriors really did a great job of spreading the floor, draw, and kick. They had 25 assists tonight, only 11 turnovers. And we know that Jordan Poole shot the ball well. D'Angelo Russell had a nice shooting night. Pascal had a big scoring night. But it was really great to see them spread the floor, draw, and kick. It's a fun style to watch when it's clicking like it definitely was tonight.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We mentioned the Warriors trailed 13-0 in this one. They closed the game on a 17-2 run to win it by that final count of 109-95. D'Angelo Russell, he got it rolling to carry the Warriors home. He finishes with 26 points and 12 assists. But I think the key to the game, Whitey, was Jordan Poole tonight, inserted into the game. And he immediately gave the Warriors an infusion of energy, some scoring on a night where, at least early on, nobody could make a shot. And his presence on the floor flipped the game. The Warriors immediately just were infused when he got out on the floor, and he winds up with a career-high 21 points. He knocked down 4 three-pointers, and he was a plus 17 for the game. Jordan Poole making things happen tonight.
Yeah, after trailing 13-0, the Warriors ended up taking a 21-17 lead, and Poole had 11 of those initial 21 points. There was also a possession in the second half that resulted in Poole scoring a layup right before the 24-second clock expired, and there must have been about 10 passes on the possession. Again, it was a great example of the Warriors spreading the floor and sharing the ball, and there were passes that were accomplishing things as they shifted the defense from side to side. So, yeah, Jordan Poole seemed like every time he came back into the game tonight, he gave the Warriors a little bounce. And how about Eric Pascal? For the first time since December 2nd, he scored 20. We mentioned on Warriors Live that he was going to get opportunities tonight with no Draymond Green, and Eric Pascal scored 20 on 14 shots. You know, Poole had a great night, 21 points on 19 shots. Pascal had his 20 points on only 14 shots, along with 9 rebounds tonight.
Yeah, good game for them, and good to see those two, the rookies, put it together on the same night as well. I mean, that gives you a little bit of a glimpse of what could be with Eric Pascal playing 35 minutes at the power forward position. I kind of like, and I know we talked about this with Jim Barnett, I kind of like Pascal just as a four-man.
It's his natural position,
just,
sure.
Just as a four-man, maybe he can knock down some threes. He can use his power there. I know he is a little bit of an undersized four, especially if he isn't knocking down the three-pointer with regularity, and that's an area of his game that he's going to try to continue to work on and has put in a lot of time prior
made
to games.
Made 2 of 5 tonight.
And at practice, trying to work on. 2 of 5 tonight, very good. I just like him in that role and almost envision him as a piggyback scenario where, Draymond Green is going to be the starting power forward if everything works as expected next year. But have Eric Pascal be the backup at that spot, and also have him be the guy that could step in if you need to give Draymond Green a night off here and there, you know, once you really get things rolling with next year's squad. I like honing in on having Eric Paschal be a four-man and just figure out where he fits in the context of the Warriors offense at that spot. I want to see that as far as the development goes between now and the end of the year.
Without question, that's his natural position. That's primarily what he's going to be for the rest of his career. But if you can expand his game enough to allow you to put him in as a three, or, well, I don't know about as a five with his size. See, but if,
well, what's
if
funny
you can
is
expand,
I like him more as a five than a three.
But I think, you know, I'm sure the Warriors agree with you, and they see it too. He's a four, but if you can get him to a point where you, on occasion you can play him in some other spots, that's great. Just makes him even more valuable. Poole, talking about future roles for these guys, I can see him as a guy off the bench, an instant offense guy off the bench.
I mean, Poole tonight is exactly what eventually you would want him to become. Somebody that, hey, it's not going well, you're a little bit sluggish, nobody can make a shot, and he comes in, boom, 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 he can knock down a few shots, and all of a sudden you go from being down 13 to, as you mentioned, up by four, and now you're almost at that point restarting the game. And from the moment where the game was restarted, after Poole's infusion into the game, the Warriors were easily the better team on this night.
And I wanted to see if you saw this the way I did. D'Angelo Russell tonight, you look at the final numbers, which we've gone over, 26 points, 12 assists, fine numbers. But he almost did it quietly tonight. To me, it was almost a matter of looking up and going, oh, my goodness, he's got some really big numbers tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I think so. And he
did. It was kind of a stealth 26-point, 12-assist night for him.
It was, and it was a slow build.
Yeah.
He was among those that weren't making shots early, but he was pretty efficient as the game went on. And I don't know what his low watermark point was for the night, but to end up 9 of 21, I think at one point he was 2 for 7.
He was 6 of 15 after three quarters.
Yeah, 6 of 15. So he winds up, you know, 3 for 6 in the fourth quarter. And he helped carry the Warriors home in this one in a fourth quarter where the Warriors outscored the Magic by 3. They go on to win it 109-95. So the 10-game losing streak is over. The Warriors also pick up their 10th win of the season.
Happy New Year.
And their first win in January, which also means their first win of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll see if we can keep it going. They could have won the last game. It's just nice to see him play well. And I know that Tim and Tom were talking about this. And obviously, when you're in a learning situation, positive feedback is so important because it helps cement the lesson in the student, if you will. So all these young players are doing so much hard work. And you can even see it going on more during games than typically do with an NBA team. Tonight, at one point, you had Coach Brown out there with Damian Lee going over things during a timeout. But now you've got the positive feedback and the proof. No matter what the coaches say, is like, look, it works. You won the game. So it's just terrific. We'll see. There probably won't be a lot more of these. The schedule gets tough. But it's very nice to snap that losing streak and get a nice win before a really enthusiastic crowd tonight on a Saturday night.
Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason here inside Chase Center. Warriors 109, Magic 95 as the Dubs continue their dominance at home over the Magic. This becomes the seventh consecutive.
They've never won in San Francisco, ever.
Seventh consecutive win for the Warriors at home against the Magic that dates back to the end of 2012. All right, we're going to hear from Steve Kerr here coming up in just a moment. We're also going to hear Klay Thompson's jersey retirement speech. Today was jersey retirement day in Pullman, Washington, at Washington State, Klay Thompson's alma mater. So we're gonna play that for you here before we get out of here on Warriors Wrap-Up. We're also going to hear from Eric Paschal as well at some point on the program. But let's go ahead and hand it off downstairs to the Bill King interview room and hear from the head coach, Steve Kerr, following this Warriors victory.
Draymond not playing opened up minutes at the four for Eric. You've kind of flip-flopped him between three and four this year. He was really good tonight. What is the difference for him, do you think, when he's at the power forward?
I think just more floor spacing. You know, he's so quick off the dribble, and he's got that burst at the rim. So when he's at the four, even with a really good athlete, great athlete like Aaron Gordon out there, you know, he still has the space to go to the rim and create a play. At the three, it's a little tougher to do that just because you got more big guys in the paint. So I think it's an easier position for Eric to play, but thought he was fantastic. So was Jordan. You know, Jordan helped us climb out of that early 13-0 hole. That was huge. And D'Angelo was fantastic. 12 assists, one turnover, closed the game. So we got a lot of great play from a lot of different guys. Willie was really good too defensively. So great night all around for our guys, and I'm really, really happy for them. They've been through a lot this year, and they earned this.
Steve, you actually answered it for me. I was going to ask you how, when you put Jordan in and he kind of instantly helped the offense get out of a hole, the energy he brings off the bench, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you're seeing him stack up some good games now. So, you know, sometimes, you know, a guy might have a good game once in a while, and, you know, anybody can kind of get hot. But I think he's put together four or five really good games in a row where he's made a significant impact. He's starting to figure out, where his spots are and his comfort zone and how to impact the game. So he just immediately changed the momentum. Immediately upon entering, I think he scored 8 points in about 2 minutes. So happy to see him progressing the way he is.
Steve, back to Jordan. I know, we both know that he can score the basketball, but how is he doing all the other things since he returned back from Santa Cruz?
Well, he's doing better with, just defensively handling the ball, making plays. The game is so fast at this level. Everything happens much faster. So whether you're defending somebody and having to get over a screen or read a rotation, or if you have the ball and you've got to try to make a pass, I mean, everything just happens much quicker than you're used to. So I think the time in Santa Cruz helped him gain a little confidence, and maybe the game has slowed down a little bit. It looks like it to me. He just looks much more confident and comfortable.
So he shot it really poorly when he was up here. He went down to Santa Cruz, shot it better. That's continued since he's been back. Is that just the vagaries of the shooter's luck, or is there more to it than that as far as what type of shots he's taking, et cetera?
It's a comfort zone. It's we're halfway through the season, so he understands now better where his shots are going to come from and which ones. He has to turn down, who's playing against him, the angle, how far the defender is away from him, all those things you have to factor in, and you just input them into your brain and you learn and you keep going, and that's why guys tend to get better in the NBA once they've figured things out, no matter who you are. Whether you're Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or anybody else, after that first year, things are much more comfortable, and so that's, I think it's just the experience of playing and feeling it and making those strides, and it's nice to see.
Steve, going back to the last few years, are you finding this season when you win a game that it's maybe in a weird way more gratifying, that there's greater value to these wins than they have been in regular seasons of last few years?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's we've had a couple of long losing streaks that are really, really difficult to live with. You feel bad for the players and the organization, people who are working so hard every day. You want to see everybody happy, and you want to see the fans happy. And I thought today was, it meant a lot to the group, to the players, but I could tell it meant a lot to the fans too. They were really happy, and so you just need to win and keep things moving forward. Even if you're 10 and 34, like we are, you got to win one occasionally to keep the spirit up. And I think that's what made today such a good win.
Has the crowd surprised you this year? I mean, just the way they were tonight, even though your record is what it is?
Honestly, they have not surprised me because I've been coming to the Bay Area for 30 plus years in the NBA, 32 years. and I've seen everything from the last 5 years with, you know, championship level play to, you know, 20 years ago as a player when the Warriors were down. There was always an electricity in the stands at Oracle, just like there is here. Bay Area has great basketball fans. People love this sport. They love the team, and they've always been loud and supportive of the Warriors. So this doesn't surprise me, and it's but we also don't take it for granted. You know, we're really grateful for what our fans bring every night.
Steve, during your tenure, the Warriors have had excellent passing centers. Willie Cauley-Stein is really starting to exhibit the ability to pass the ball. Is that something that you guys have noticed, and how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Willie's more skilled than I think people give him credit for. You know, he can step out and make an 18-foot jumper, and he made a couple really good passes when they blitzed D'Angelo and out at half court, and D'Angelo found Willie in the pocket, and he made some really good plays out of that. So he's a talented guy.
And a nice night from Willie Cauley-Stein in a Warriors victory. 5 for 5 tonight for Cauley-Stein. We were talking throughout the game, Whitey, just you and I, about Jordan Poole. And for a good portion of the night, Jordan Poole was the leading Warrior in terms of plus-minus. Cauley-Stein, the 10 points on the 5 shots, he winds up being a team high and a game high plus 24.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, he's sort of been indicative of how the Warriors go in some ways. When they had their 4-game winning streak here right around the holiday, he was playing pretty well in that stretch.
He's probably never going to be an all-star. I think that's safe to say. But Willie Cauley-Stein, when he's playing well, he does a lot of things that are hard to notice. And he helps the team play better. Again, even tonight, the numbers weren't overwhelming. He had 10 and 6, 10.6 rebounds. But as you said, 5 for 5, and the team played better defense when he was on the floor, and he helped facilitate a lot of things.
I agree with Coach Kerr. It looks like the game has slowed down for Jordan Poole since his stint in Santa Cruz. It, again, I just keep coming back to the fact that he looks confident in a different way. Not confident, again, like he's just going to come down and cast off, but confident that the shots he's taken are going to go in the freaking basket.
Yeah, I think something had to be done because, to my eye, the confidence issues had manifested themselves physically. He got to a point where he wasn't just shooting the ball, he was casting the ball because he had no idea where it was going. And if you watch him tonight, even when he's missing, he's back to, you can tell that he's shooting the basketball. So he was so lost there for a while. There were times when it almost looked like he was flinging the ball in the general direction of the basket. So that has been fixed. Case in point tonight, he knocks down from the 3-point line, 4 out of 10. So if he's doing that, I mean, that's excellent. And as you pointed out, he really helped the team dig out of that early hole tonight.
Ultimately,
climb out of that early hole.
What do you think Eric Paschal's role is for the Warriors positionally? Because Steve Kerr addressed this as well. He's more of a natural at the power forward. The floor spacing is there for him going up against other fours. The ability to drive and use his power and have space to do it. Coach Kerr said it's an easier position for him to play. I'm fully on board with that. But he also, there was a hint in there to me of, but we're going to need him to do other things too.
Well, sure, because he's going to be a bench player, right? If this team's anywhere near as good as they hope to be as soon as next year, he's a fine player, and he's a real find in the second round. But is he a starter for the team next year? Well, you hope not. I mean, he's a guy that when you have to start him.
Definitely not at the three. Definitely not at the three.
You think he'd be starting at the four next year?
Well, no, but I think he is somebody that, again, Draymond Green probably isn't going to play 82 games. So, if you know, and injuries, as we know, even in the years where the Warriors were great, are going to be a part of the deal from time to time. I just see him as a you know, 20-minute-a-game guy, and then on the nights where maybe Draymond's got a miss, then you can ramp him up to 30 or 35.
Short-term, yeah, and I think long-term, you know, no one would want to say this, but it's not hard to see him as maybe being a Draymond successor.
Probably a little too early to say that, but not crazy to think at some point that could be the
certainly
case.
Certainly possibility.
That's Whitey Gleason. I'm John Dickinson. Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors beat the Magic 109-95. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason. We're brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. It's Warriors Wrap-Up. Warriors get the win tonight against the Magic, 109-95 the final. 10-game losing streak is over. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We are going to hear the Klay Thompson jersey retirement speech coming up here, Whitey, as he was in Pullman, Washington, the number one retired at Washington State earlier in the afternoon. Stephen Curry among those that were on hand in Pullman for
then Steph bounced back to town, right?
Klay's special day, and Stephen Curry also was here, and he was a sideline reporter, Steph, for NBC Sports Bay Area. We've got a few snippets of that, too, that we're going to get to between now and about 9:15. Before
very, especially in this, you know, somewhat discouraging season, in some ways very dark season. Today was a very bright day and a very encouraging day for the Warriors.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's hear a little bit of Steph. What do you
think?
Let's
do it, yeah.
Why don't we do that? Let's hear a little bit of Steph here. This courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area, as Steph was working as the sideline reporter and guest analyst on the television broadcast. Let's hear first Steph talking about the Warriors' winning culture.
100%. We have a culture of winning, obviously, and we've established that over many, many years, and nothing nothing worth, you know, working for comes easy. And so just staying with the program and working on your attitude, your competitiveness, and just the details of, like, what you need to do every single game and how you can adjust and learn on the fly. Is that a stress pad? Getting both in the stat sheet right there.
It went in. That's all that matters.
That was so going to pass it. But
that was such a horrible lob.
But yeah, it's just about sticking with the program. We understand that we're young, we're injured, but this is going to do amazing wonders for these guys once we get back healthy and everybody finds their place in terms of what we're trying to do as a team.
I think a big part of that culture, Whitey, and we've discussed this, to me a big part of the culture is Steph and Klay. Obviously, Klay wasn't going to be around today, but Steph and Klay being around, that was something else during the holidays. Steph and Klay were around and on the bench, and you could feel their presence. And I think that's important as far as letting these players that are new to everything about this franchise see the walking statues, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, guys that are going to be statues
mm-hmm.
someday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what else is really valuable to the young players who will be here, or the young players who will anywhere that they're going to be next year and beyond. Just look at the last two games. You had the overtime loss to the Nuggets, but a close game. You know, there's nothing like fourth quarter basketball in a tight game or overtime. You know, Magic used to call it winning time. And then even though they won by ultimately a wide margin tonight, this was a close game in the fourth quarter. And so that's the type of thing you can't simulate. We're trying to win this game. We've got to try to win this close game in the fourth quarter. And these are very valuable lessons, especially when you come out victorious, as I said earlier. See, it works. You won the game.
And to that point about culture, here's more Stephen Curry as he was talking about the young guys and going through what has been a difficult year.
Every day, you know, myself, Klay, Draymond, having been around and seeing, you know, all the ups and downs and whatnot, we have a lot to offer. It's just, you kind of have to just find a way to connect with the young guys and understand, like, what you expect is greatness, but it's going to take some time to get there. And they know that, and hopefully they know we care you know, about them and their development and what they're going to mean for us to get back to that championship caliber.
Yeah, so again, just more to that point on those guys being around and those guys being able to talk with these guys and offer advice. I think at times this year, just due to the nature of, you know, Klay's rehabbing a major injury. He's here some of the time. He's down in L.A. working on things and trying to get healthy. And now, obviously, he's around more. I think at times, Steph not being able to travel and him having other things going on, too. I think at times, not having those guys around was kind of a drag to those that were here trying to fight and battle and scrap, especially on some of those nights where the Warriors were playing with 8 and 9 guys.
I think it might cut both ways, though. This year, obviously, hey, we're trying to learn. The wins are not that important this year, and we're not winning a lot of games, but we know brighter days are ahead because, look, there's Steph, there's Clay. They're right here. We just saw Clay taking jump shots, making threes a couple days ago. So for a young player, look, this year you don't have to worry as much about winning. Work hard, perform, better days are coming. But then next year, for the young players who are here, when you have Steph back and Clay back, next year is going to be, all right, now it is time to win. No more learning time, no more play time.
Immediately.
Once they throw it up at the start of next season.
And hit the ground running in training camp.
Yes. So learn your lessons well now.
Right. Those of you that are around.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that point, you know, October 1st, essentially, when training camp is going to start, plus or minus a couple of days on either side, that's when it's go time.
Yes.
There isn't going to be, and I'm sure the Warriors will, I'm sure Steve Kerr, I can already hear him saying, hey, look, we got a lot of new pieces, and it's going to take some time. I don't really think the Warriors can afford that next year.
No,
I think they're
going
to have to hit the ground running, and
right.
I think they're going to do everything they can to make sure they can hit the ground running the best they possibly can, especially in a season where you look up right now and 10-34. I mean, I think this team's going to be a little bit better in the second half than they were in the first half. But
I think the schedule gets tougher, too.
Even if they are, the schedule gets tougher. And, I mean, it really is going to be hard for this team to win more than 22 or 23 games with the way that it's paced out to this point.
Yeah, as far as next year goes, that hinges on things that are unknowable at this point. Where are you going to be drafting? What might you get for whomever you decide to trade? Are you going to trade D'Angelo Russell, package the picks? So we don't know where it's going to be. And there will be, initially, if you have some new players coming in next year, you know, obviously there's going to be a feeling out period. But as far as the young guys go, yeah, once they start next year, school's done now. It's time to put you're done with school. It's time to go to work now.
Let's hear one more from Stephen Curry here as he is scheduled to be reevaluated on February 1st. By the way, have you looked at a calendar lately, Whitey?
I can't find one anywhere.
February 1st is 2 weeks from today.
Oh, okay.
That is 2 weeks from today. The reevaluation point on Stephen Curry's injury, you'll get maybe some kind of a timeline. Now, in the past, that timeline could be, hey, everything is progressing well. He'll be reevaluated again after the All-Star break.
I know we talked
at the All-Star break, which at that point would be roughly another 2 weeks away from February 1st.
Yeah. Connor Letourneau joined us today on Warriors This Week, and he said, I expect him to be playing again in March. And for a minute, I thought, well, wait a minute, because, okay, maybe he's right, but there's no question that if Steph Curry had to play in February, I think he could play in February based on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think, and I know Steve Kerr said March, and I know we've had Anthony Slater on. Anthony Slater said, hey, maybe that first game after the All-Star break, the Warriors have, I think, four home games here right out of the chute there.
That would be great.
Maybe that's the re-debut of Stephen Curry, but still we're 2 weeks away from getting some kind of a feel for exactly when that will be. But let's hear from Steph again on NBC Sports Bay Area during the game talking about how his rehab's working out.
It's going great. I mean, it's every day's tough. When you're hurt, and we've all been there in some way, shape, or form, it's a grind. Every day it can kind of be monotonous with, you know, the little strength workouts you have to do, and just understanding that it takes time and patience to get back to 100%. But every day I've been making progress. No setbacks, which is definitely encouraging to get back to 100% as soon as possible.
No setbacks. That's
good,
the key
news
right there.
Right, right.
And he looks good when we've seen him.
Yeah. It's shooting the ball extremely well, of course. Handling with both hands. We don't know. Obviously, we're not privy to the ins and outs of his rehab. But I'm very excited about the return of Steph Curry. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But as we've said all year long, we just have to be patient.
John Dickinson, Whitey Gleason, Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com, the home of home search. We got the call of the game coming up as well. We're also going to hear Klay Thompson's jersey retirement speech as Klay was up in Pullman, Washington, getting the number one at Wazoo, retired today. We'll hear that coming up. And still time for some phone calls as well. It's Warriors Wrap-Up here, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wrap-Up continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson and Whitey Gleason inside Chase Center, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors beat the Magic tonight. Final score, 109-95. We were talking about it earlier, Whitey. Good night for the Warriors youngsters and the Warriors with both Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal going over the 20-point mark. Pascal had 20. Jordan Poole, a career-high 21. First time since 2010.
Oh, yeah, Steph Curry and Reggie Williams, right?
That the Warriors had two rookies score 20 or more points.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think everybody knows that, but yeah. How about that? First time since 2010.
Yeah, and obviously Stephen Curry, the headliner of that. Interesting to think back now, just, you know, gosh, 10 years Stephen Curry was a rookie 10 years ago. That's been kind of interesting as this season has gone on. Before we get to the Klay Thompson speech, we'll get to that coming up here. Wanted to throw something at you. D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, this has been such a feel-good night until now. Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell, nice game for him. Just one turnover, 12 assists, 26 points, 9 for 21, 4 of 12 from 3. And I know there's been a heavy debate about the D'Angelo Russell's fit with the Warriors, right?
He's not helping tonight.
D'Angelo Russell downstairs in the Bill King interview room, post-game press conference, podium game for him, typically a podium game for a player of his ilk in the NBA. D'Angelo Russell doing his post-game press conference wearing an Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers story.
Well, I guess if Steph is, of course, always will be and was a Carolina Panthers fan, I guess, really, I mean, I guess it's okay. D'Angelo Russell apparently has worked out with Aaron Rodgers and knows Aaron Rodgers personally, but that's a questionable fashion statement right there.
Do we need to do a quickie 95.7 the game poll? 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570.
What, trade him because of that or not?
No. Just no. Is it cool? How much heat should he take? I mean, I say that kiddingly. I mean, you can be a fan of whoever you want to be a fan of. But, yeah, I mean, he's up there. Big game tomorrow, obviously, between the 49ers and the Packers. And, yeah, I was curious as to what the history was with D'Lo and Rodgers because he's not from that particular area.
He's from Louisville.
I know Kevon Looney is from that area.
Yeah.
So you could understand, hey, Kevon Looney's probably rooting for the Packers tomorrow against the 49ers. But D'Angelo Russell, it was an odd fit. I know I remember seeing something on his Instagram within the last week where he was, you know, rooting on the Packers. I think he put up a video or a photo of something in him in the jersey.
True fan.
They were playing Seattle. But, yeah, an opportunity to work out with Rodgers. And so they're kind of friends, and he's rooting for his guy.
True fan respects true fan, right? I mean, so if, hey, he knows the guy, and maybe that's not the wisest choice of things to wear on this night. On the other hand, a true fan sticking up for his buddy and for his team, there's something to be said for that.
And the last time,
but I say trade him, yes, because of that.
The last time that the 49ers made it to an NFC championship game, you go back to the 2013 season, 2014, in January. Of course, Stephen Curry, a Carolina Panthers fan, and the 49ers defeated the Panthers on their way to ultimately losing to Seattle.
So maybe Steph kind of, in a way, cleared the way for D'Angelo Russell here in this regard.
Yeah, so just something to chew on here as we continue with Warriors Wrap-Up brought to you by Realtor.com. But in all seriousness, we're having some fun there, but a nice night for D'Angelo Russell, 26 points and 12 assists. He also knocks down 4 of 12 from 3, and he was the closer tonight. He was the guy that finished the Magic off in this game as the Warriors were on that 17-2 run to end it.
We've seen him do some of that. We've seen Draymond do that, some of that. Obviously, tonight, no Draymond, so there was no other choice. When it came time to taking care of the basketball down the stretch, D'Angelo Russell was the obvious choice, and he did a great job. Kind of had the final nail in the coffin. And the really impressive thing about him tonight, with the 12 assists, just the one turnover. That's spectacular. Anytime you do that.
All right, it was a big night for D'Angelo Russell. It was a big day for Klay Thompson as he went back to his alma mater, Washington State, up in Pullman, Washington, and it was the number one being retired. Klay Thompson played at Washington State from 2008 to 2011, and his jersey was retired today during the Cougars ball game this afternoon. We want to play this for you before we get out of here. Let's go ahead and hear, which really was just a tremendous, tremendous speech. Klay Thompson, let's go ahead and play this courtesy of the Pac-12 networks.
Oh, Pullman, wow. Man, last time I was on the mic in Beasley, I had the tears flowing. So I don't know if it'll be the same again, but I'm gonna try not to cry because this is pretty special. But oh, I miss you guys too, man. I'm back home. Oh man. Well, I'll never forget in 2007 when Tony Bennett and Ben Johnson came to my parents' house, sat on the couch, and I just fell in love with what Tony was speaking to me. It was just, he put together a vision. I came up to Pullman, flew in from Seattle, saw the beautiful wheat fields of the Palouse. Then proceeded to go to campus, hang out with my teammates, future teammates, and that's what really sold me on this institution. So I look up here, I see the 2008 Sweet 16 team, and I just, man, I fell in love with that team, man. I don't even know. I just saw how it was a brotherhood. That's what I saw from afar. Those guys, they might have been friends for a couple years, but it seemed like they grew up together because they were so tight. And my host, Davin, who's here tonight, great to see you, Davin. Give it up for Harmeling, the original stretch four. Abe, Charlie, Ben, all you guys, man, the best times in Pullman. To see Brock on the screen, too, that was my best friend here, roommates. And man, time just goes so fast. So when I saw that team, I wanted to be a part of that. I saw what they did for the city. I saw the love they got from everyone in the town. And that's what I wanted to be a part of, just to inspire people. And I know we've done amazing things with the Warriors. Side note, a lot of Warrior fans up here, it makes me happy. So special thanks to Joe Lacob, Steph Curry, Johnny West, Zaza, Bob, everyone from the Warriors who was able to make it. We've done some amazing things. And who would like to see a couple more championships in the future? So we're gonna get to that. But before that started, I came to Pullman and I felt the love here before anything happened internationally. And now, gosh, it was the best playing in front of my family, my Uncle John, my cousin Jack, Katie, Mitch. And every time I walk in here, I get chills because I think of my grandfather who passed away. My grandpa Jerry, man, there's not a bigger fan than my grandpa Jerry. And he would be sitting 12 rows up. There wasn't a ref he ever liked. There wasn't another team he ever liked. And that man would go toe-to-toe with anybody if it came to his grandson. So I think of my grandfather. I miss him a lot. Man, that's where, I know my dad played in the league, but everyone asked me where I get my competitive fire. I don't talk a lot. It definitely came from my grandfather. That's for sure. But, man, I just want to thank you to everyone who came out. This is very special. No matter what uni I put on, hopefully a Warrior for the rest of my career. But I will always be a Coug. I'll always be a Coug. And I'm so grateful for where basketball is taking me. It's taking me to China, Brazil, New Zealand, Spain, around the world. But there's nowhere like Pullman. There's nowhere like the Palouse. So thank you guys. I love you, and go Cougs. And thank you, Zoo Crew. It was all you guys. Thank you, Zoo Crew. Got to thank my parents, my mom, of course my dad for teaching me the fundamentals, but I got to thank moms for running me around to all the practices growing up. Man, we used to give her a lot of trouble, me and my brothers. On that note, I got to thank Trace and Mikey. If it was not for them, I would not be here right now. They beat me up every day. And I was the middle son too, so I would think I could beat up my little brother, but my little brother was always bigger than me. So in the end, I was just a little bro for 18 years. And without them, I would not be here. So, Mom and Dad, I love you guys. Trace and Mikey, I love you to death. And thank you, everybody. Love you, all Cougs out there. There's nothing better than like a 10-day road trip with the Warriors than while being in like Milwaukee or some random city. I just hear a go Cougs from the stands. That keeps me going. So, keep doing that. Love you guys.
Great speech.
Now, let's be loud. Let's get this win tonight. Let's go. Get this win.
All right, good stuff there from Klay Thompson on what was a very special afternoon for him. And also, you know, really cool to see so many from the Warriors organization go up there with him to be a part of it, including Stephen Curry, who then came back here and did the sideline reporter duties.
I didn't realize how many Warrior fans they have up there. Obviously, it makes sense with the Klay connection, but I didn't realize how many Warrior fans he'd be speaking to today. And doesn't it just make you appreciate what the Warriors had done even more now that you're without them for this season and anxiously awaiting their return?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's no doubt. And I mean, you can start to – it's fun in a way because you can start to piece together, you know, who might be playing with them. But at the same time, I mean, you know, you look at the Warriors – I mean, 10-34 isn't fun for anybody. And to have, you know, the fans tonight be able to get to see a victory and get to see this team play well and close down the stretch and just stop that streak so it's not something that's
yeah.
got to be talked about. You know, every single day, that's definitely a good thing. And, you know, Stephen Curry at some point here
right.
in the near future,
right
we're going to know when he's going to be playing.
It feels a little bit right now like laying awake in your bed waiting for Santa Claus to come, and it's the 4th of July. So you got a long ways to go, but it's coming. Eventually, Santa Claus is coming, and Steph could be back. Steph could be back next month.
Yeah, and like I said, reevaluated here coming up 2 weeks from today. I did a quickie Twitter poll. D'Angelo Russell wearing a Packers jersey in the postgame press conference tonight. Hell yeah or nah, bro? And 142 votes just in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So 142 votes within the last 4 minutes, and it is 70%. Nah, bro, 30%. Hell yeah.
Okay.
And by
hell yeah's doing better than I thought it would
and
be doing.
Your official vote on that is
trade
nah,
him.
Bro.
No, trade him now. Trade
okay.
him now. Unless he burns a jersey tomorrow.
And a few of those were in the comments, although I think the comment of the night here goes to somebody who just tweeted and said, good thing this game isn't against the Packers. Or, I'm sorry, against the Panthers.
Oh, yeah,
gosh,
exactly.
Yeah. Stephen yeah. Curry, obviously,
yeah,
a huge Carolina Panthers fan. All right, that's going to do it for us. For Whitey Gleason. Oh, before you know what? Yeah, before we do
yeah,
that, we
gotta,
yeah, we got to do the call,
call
of the game.
Game.
That's right, I almost forgot.
It's time for the call of the game. Brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Guarded by Burks, throws to the right wing to Ross, curling, firing for three, and goes out of bounds, saved by Clark to Owandu with 6 seconds to go. Short, rebound Spellman. Warriors have 3 seconds with two. Poole catches, pump fake, takes a dribble, takes a three, got it at the buzzer!
All right, know the call of the game. Tune in to Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game Monday morning, 9:30. If you can correctly identify the call we just played, you'll win $100 to Schroeder's Restaurant at 240 Front Street in San Francisco. The call of the game is brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile, the best deal in wireless. That's going to do it for us. For Tim Jordan, thanks to him for setting us up out here. For Whitey Gleason, I'm John Dickinson. Thanks also to Alex Scott and Ryan Mauser back in our San Francisco studios. We will be back, and we will be joined by Matt Kolsky, 5:30, Warriors Live on Monday as the Warriors are up in Portland and they will take on the Trail Blazers. Keep it locked here to 95.7 The Game as well. Tomorrow we got you covered. The overtime pregame and overtime after the game with Bonte and Shasky, 12 o'clock from the Hilton Santa Clara. We're going to be kicking it off then, and we've got you covered all day long for the game that everybody's going to be talking about. So keep it locked here to 95.7 The Game, and keep it locked here on Monday as well, as we'll be talking about nothing but the 49ers all the way up until 5:30 when we take over for the Dubs and the Blazers. That's going to do it. Warriors, 10-game losing streak is over. Dubs beat the Magic 109-95, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.